You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC is almost closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow, or the near 5 o'clock shadow. With me today is Viv Govender from Rand Swiss in Johannesburg. Getting the feeling that things are winding down a bit now, Viv. I don't know about you. The results season, as I've said before, is probably around about finished. Of course, when I say these sort of things, what's going to happen is there's going to be some apocalyptic event. But it seems to me like an orderly progression to the end of the year, and people like yourself who've worked so hard will be taking a well-deserved break.
Not us quite, because we do a lot of offshore transfers, and the calendar year is the deadline for the year. So the last week tends to be quite busier than average, just because people want to be using whatever allowances they have left for the year. It's terrible. Moving to the end of February, like everything else. I mean, why is that the one thing in the financial sector that ends in December, except other than the end of February? You know what I mean? It's just a horrible balance. But yeah, that is life. That's the one thing we have to worry about. But other than that, yeah, you're right. Like, we are going to the end of the year. It's kind of like the market has found a level right now, unless there's going to be a bit of surprise one way or the other with that inflation number or with the Fed movement. We probably are going to drift to the end of the year without too much happening. Or, of course, like you mentioned, a black swan event. For all I know, there'll be a nuclear strike somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's a nice cheerful thought. No, please don't let that happen, because, I mean, that would be apocalyptic, I believe. Yeah. I did my first...
But I would have got it right. I would have predicted it on your website. I'd say, hey, yeah, the world is ending, but I'm called.
Please don't make any predictions. Please don't put these things out there, Viv. Viv, I did my first, this time of year, broadcasters who've given up on imaginative ideas like myself. I've given up. You say to people, you phone people up and say, I'd like to do a review of this market and that market. Are you keen? And they'll usually say no. But I say, come on, it'll only take 15 minutes. I did one today on the currency and bond markets, overseas currency and bond markets. Very interesting, because I said to the fella, 2002 changed everything. 2022, excuse me, changed everything. In other words, interest rates went up. The dollar rallied. Inflation went through the roof, and all those things that we know we haven't been used to for actually a couple of decades, maybe even more. And I said, is it going to completely change around? Will 2023 be the antithesis of 2022? And he said, no, it's not going to be that easy. Everything went down in 2022. In 2023, there will be selected pockets of continued weakness. And he highlighted equities, but also there will be obvious changes to the last 11 months. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think what's happened is with the kind of like the earthquake this year of interest rate hikes, you're finding a lot of stuff breaking, like the liability-driven investments in the UK. I think in the next year or so, you're going to find a lot of emerging markets, especially, under a great deal of pressure. The food situation is something I think that's going to be continuing to be a problem going forward. Natural gas converts to fertilizer. Fertilizer makes food. Natural gas prices this year were much higher than expected. Fertilizer prices are going to be higher, going to be high into next year as well. That's going to be a problem. And I think also there's going to be a geographic shifting as well. I mean, you've seen what's happened. I think Volkswagen came out and said they couldn't produce batteries efficiently in the EU anymore because there's no energy. So we're probably going to see a lot of shifting of production away from the EU towards the US, possibly. And we're going to see like real powerhouses like Germany maybe being, irreparably damaged by what's happening right now in the energy market.
Yeah, because you know what the Germans have done? I mean, obviously you can't just switch on the spigot in order to get the gas from Qatar, but they've signed a long-term deal with Qatar for the supply of natural gas. And obviously there are logistical niceties that they have to sort out, pipelines and all that sort of thing that I don't understand. But what's happened is, what Mr. Putin has done, I don't even want to call him Mister. What Putin has done, he's changed the world forever, he's changed Europe forever, because they are already being creative about securing their long-term energy needs. And so something good comes out of this war.
Yeah, but if you think, because Russia has a troublesome human rights record, you should take a look at Qatar.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I do think that We are seeing a shift away from some of the, like, you know, the old energy suppliers into a new world in terms of power. But I do think that the stuff that's happening this year, especially around, I mean, what the EU is doing and the US is doing with that oil cap, is basically using their effective monopoly on the financial sector to control or to sanction a country in a different way that has ever been done before. Okay.
Yeah.
It is almost like a weird judo, like martial arts move, not punching, but like, you know, like almost like a killing death point kind of thing, very subtle, very whatever. But what it does do, I think it really opens up the world to the realization about the financial sector and the kind of like control that is, you know, outside many of these countries. And I think that's going to be a problem that goes on for decades going into the future. We're probably going to see a bifurcation of the world in terms of that. The second thing is that we are also seeing the moves against China with regards to, you know, the chip exports and the chip manufacturing equipment exports from places like the Netherlands also changing, and that's again going to have an impact going into the future. It's going to cause almost like a two different blocks to the world. It should be communist and capitalist. Now it's more going to be Western and like dictatorships, kind of like the two kind of you know, poles. And I think that's something that we'll experience or will be a problem, you know, a decade, 2 decades from now, easily.
Okay, so it's all changed, but I mean, change occurs. It's not an immediate change that we're going to see, but I do see that there are wheels within wheels behind the scenes, and the energy, certainly the energy mix in 10 years' time, if we're still talking to each other, Viv, which I probably think you'd hope we wouldn't be, but it's going to be very, very different indeed. And I suppose when it comes to an asset manager like yourself, or an investor like yourself, on behalf of your clients and yourself, it's an interesting dynamic, an interesting prospect for the years ahead, and it's maybe 5-10 years ahead. But you must start looking at it now, I would have thought.
Oh, you must certainly. And then look, I mean, also, I don't know if you know, but I have a really keen interest in AI. And if you follow the stuff over the last year or two, the jumps that you've seen have been amazing. I mean, the stuff that was blowing my mind in like the start of this year is now outdated, less than a year later. You know what I mean? There's stuff happening with like different things like Midjourney and DALL-E and stuff. There's AlphaFold, AlphaTensor stuff happening behind the scenes that are affecting like the fundamentals of mathematics and basically or the computation as well as healthcare. We're getting to a point where, you know, the stuff that's happening is just, it's like how, you know, the internet was with regards to, you know, science fiction. If you look at science fiction programs from the 1980s, with the internet, they literally couldn't conceive of what the internet could be like, the power that comes by being able to transfer data cheaply and quickly across the world. They literally have no idea how to imagine it. And I think that's the kind of world we're dealing with AI as well. There's stuff happening there that you literally can't imagine, but it's happening. I mean, have you tried the GPT chat yet?
I don't know what you're talking about. You've lost me completely. In fact, I drifted off about a minute ago. Please tell me what it is.
Okay. Okay, GPT is something called, it's basically a program that gives you text, okay?
Yeah.
It generates text, right? Anyway, there's a new thing called GPT chat. And as a writer, okay, you can put in something like, write me a story, an outline of a story about cats in space, and it'll write you an outline. Write me a story about yams on a pad with a plan for the future. And it'll write you a little kind of synopsis of a little movie with yams on a pad, basically dreaming about the future. And
but rather than create creativity, that destroys creativity because it does it for you. Anyone could do it. I mean, I could write a story then, and I'm no writer.
Yeah, no, and the thing is, it's structurally and it's graphically and grammatically and actually aesthetically as well pleasing. The writing is interesting. You could basically say, write me a thing, and then say in the style of Ernest Hemingway. Or in the style of Anne Bryant or something.
No, that's cheating, Viv. That's cheating, and I don't want you to get too much into it because before you know it, you'll be taking too much cognizance of Zuckerberg, and you'll be in some meta virtual world, and I won't be speaking to you, and people will tell you what to do. No, this is wrong. No, we must go back to basics. I'm sorry. Do you really believe in this stuff?
I'm telling you. You just it's amazing thing about it. You can try it for free. You can just go to OpenAI and they'll give you a login and you can try it for free. You could type in your own little kind of prompts and see what comes out and just play around with it and it will blow your mind.
What's it called? GBT chat, you say? Yeah,
GPT chat. Okay, Google it, go to what's called OpenAI, get yourself a login and play around and it will blow your mind. Okay, and this is just the demo version. And then you think about what's going to happen to graphic designers when you look at DALL-E, what's going to happen to writers when you look at GPT chat. The stuff happening behind the scenes is amazing. And that's the future. And like we were saying, there's no negative, but the future is going to be incredibly interesting as well.
I still prefer the interaction of my brain with my left hand because I'm left-handed. I write it down. Dear Viv, thanks very much for your Christmas present. It was lovely to talk to you over 2020, that sort of thing. Anyway, Viv... let's have a look at the markets now, because I'm looking at the Stock Exchange News Service and it was the cupboard was bare there. It's the end of the results season, as I've said on a couple of occasions. So I'm going to give you these spot prices. Dollar Rand is 17.31. Euro Rand is 18.17. British Pound against the Rand is 21.08. Euro Dollar is 105. Yes, 105, let's call it. British Pound... just below 122. Commodities, gold price up 8 to 1775. Platinum has gone back above 1,000, but came back up a couple of dollars to 1,004. And palladium up $37 an ounce to 1876. Now, the crude oil price, it doesn't matter how much artificial intelligence you have, Viv, nothing's going to change the fact that Brent crude oil is $82.11, down 0.7%, and West Texas crude $76.63, which is down 0.4%. Wheat prices are down 1.5%, coal up 1.8%, and all that sort of thing. So that's not particularly interesting today. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield, just have to refresh my screen here, is 3.58%. The South African 10-year bond yield, that's an interesting one. It's been all over the place this year. 10.59%. And Bitcoin, I'd love to know where that's going to be next year so I could gloat. 16,965, down nearly 2%. S&P 500 futures, I've got... gosh, look at that. Yeah, so actually it's fallen about a third of a percent. 3,988. Yeah. So a quiet day, Viv. Are you starting to, you know, as I say, getting ready to write those letters to say thank you for your support this year? This is what we think might happen, or don't you do it that way at Rand Swiss?
Well, we do. We do a webinar at the end of the year, kind of like going over what we thought, you know, what we think is going to happen next year. At the start of the new year, we do a basically a prediction thing, which we do to our clients. And if you win, we give you a little present, you know. We actually tell you what each of our traders thought. And, you know, it's fair and whatever. And we'll see which clients did really well. And often you look at somebody that gets a lot of stuff right, you know, like, you know, 95% of the questions right, whether by luck or whatever. It's quite interesting to see what the predictions were at the start of the year and how things have changed over that period. Yes, we do that.
Generally, have your clients been with you? I mean, there's always natural attrition. People migrate from somewhere to somewhere else because of an alluring advertising campaign or something. So you lose people. But generally, I think that there's financial market inertia. So you probably have kept most of your clients in 2022. But what's their attitude when you ring them up or when they ring you up? What are they saying? They're saying, well done, you've been honest with me this year, or I'm really nervous, what should I do? What's the attitude at the moment, the mood?
Well, actually, you know, I have two kind of preferences. You know, I love the US, and I've been, like, you know, a fan of the US for, like, several years.
Yeah.
And that's worked out really well, the dollar and also with the US markets as well. And the second thing is I'm really cautious, so I love to get guys to do, you know, guaranteed products that have, you know, capital protection on some level. And both those kind of particular, you know, features have been extremely popular this year. You know, that caution and that focus on a single geographic area has really given us a leg up. So that's been a positive. That being said, you know, obviously all these things have to change. And going forward, we are looking at, you know, more non-US stuff. Just because the European, you know, shares are so cheap at the moment, there has to be some value to be found there. And the same thing possibly even in the Asian markets. So we are looking at some pivoting. But clients are reasonably happy.
Good.
Because, I mean, our clients tend to be more financially aware And the fact that we may be negative, but the market is more negative, they know that's actually a big positive for them, because they understand that, you know, when things are down, not falling as much is almost as powerful as rising more when things rise. So that's the kind of trend we've seen over the last year.
Very good. And I don't want to pry too much into your business because it's private, but the point is, do they, during times like this, seek your advice, or do they make decisions for themselves? Because it's all to do with the psychology of the individual, I think.
Yeah, look, I mean, we do have a lot of, like I said, financial professionals as our clients. It's one of the stranger things about our business. We did a survey recently, and like, you know, about what our client base looked like, and a significant portion of them were actually, you know, executives in other financial institutions. So at least they do quality this year. And that being said, also, I mean, we do have a lot of advice coming through from to our clients. I mean, I must not mention the fact that two of our guys, Verda and Twisto, are the third and sixth highest ranked stock advice brokers in the country. So these clients are coming through for that.
Okay.
But that being said, you know, the one thing we have noticed more recently is that maybe it's to do with the outlook of our clients or whatever. A lot of guys are being more positive about the next year. So they're thinking this is a buying opportunity into the future. And we are still a little more cautious than our client base at the moment. Just because we do think that people have been trained to a certain extent with these lower interest rates and falling interest rates over the last couple of decades. So intuitively, because you've been in the market where every time there's a dip, you buy into it. Clients have gotten into the habit that, oh, the market's fallen. You know, the NASDAQ is down. Let's just buy it, because obviously it's going to come back up again like it always has in the time I've been investing. And I think right now that might be something that gets them in a bit of trouble.
Let's talk about the trouble today, because there's been very little trouble on the JSE. It's slightly weaker. Can you give me the closing indices that you track, please, Viv?
Okay, give me a second on that.
No
problem. The overall market is slightly negative at the moment. It was basically flat for most of the day, but dipped negative near the end. The last little move of the day pushed us down, like you mentioned, by 0.18% for the all share. The resources sector is the biggest faller, down about 1%. We saw financials basically net positive, but 0.93. And industrials basically were slightly negative, 0.16 lower. An interesting fact that came out today was GDP numbers. And, you know, you never want to look at one data point as a indicator of reality. But when data points back each other up, you definitely are seeing something happening there. So recall that we had those unemployment numbers coming in better than expected. The unemployment rate fell. Now we had GDP numbers also come out for the last quarter.
Yeah, 1.6% higher, which was a beat, wasn't it? Which is good news.
Yeah. Which is good news. And I mean, there's obviously some resilience in the South African people that is amazing considering the fact that we had load shedding for much of that period. So South Africans are still quite strong. Load shedding at high petrol prices and a number of different factors. The fact that we grew in that period was a bit of a surprise. But like I said, that we have two numbers now that are backing up that fact that the third quarter for South Africa was better than expected, the unemployment and the GDP number. So there's probably some reality there that we aren't quite seeing at the moment.
Okay, we may be bottoming, not going for a V-shaped recovery, but a slow consolidation at the lower levels. And just tell me quickly, because I'm looking at my delayed screen, top five major moves, and I've got number one is Nedcorp, just over 3% higher, and Absa Group, just under 2% higher. Why are the banks suddenly doing this? Was it the GDP number, the Rand? What's gone on there?
Yeah, look, I mean, we had a bit of positivity coming through with regards to the GDP number. And of course, remember, the banks were particularly badly hit with the Cyril Ramaphosa scandal last week.
Yeah.
So if you saw that come through, you would have seen that the banks being badly hit, had more to recover from. Also, the Rand has gotten a bit stronger over the last little while. So there's been a bit of a rebalancing over the last couple of days, more towards the financials and less towards the resources, which have been like buoyed up by the weaker Rand.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, because you've suddenly revealed your colours as a tech geek. When was the first text message sent? How many years ago was it?
I would assume it would be something in the late 1970s.
No, it was 30 years ago.
Oh.
It was 30 years ago, the first text message, and it was sent by one of these great big sort of bricks of phones that some people used to have, and they were very ostentatious about taking it out of their briefcase and, yeah, sitting there and say, hello, darling, I'll be back a little bit later this evening, that sort of rubbish. Have a guess at what the message was.
But I'll be late for dinner.
No, it was Merry Christmas. So there, and you've moved on so much since then. But anyway, you carry on with your
technique.
I'm going back to basics now. There's going to be a reality check, and your prediction for AI changing everyone's lives. And what did you say it was? GBT chat. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Have a look at that.
I think it'll fall by the wayside, and we'll all go back to being normal human beings. But
I will take that bet. I will take that bet on the other side. I think it's going to be incredible, not very positive, as you know, as older people will think about it in some cases. But the world is going to be a very interesting place 10 years from now, and this stuff is going to be, you know, causing troubles and creating, you know, solutions that we would not imagine, just like the internet did.
Okay. Well, we agree to disagree on that one. Viv, thank you very much for a fascinating chat. Viv Govender is from Rand Swiss in Johannesburg. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.